training providing for the climbing course. Aerobatic fitness considered providing the tender wall interaction. And then your phenolic will find the cerebrums that are present. Yeah, I mentioned finding. This is the one I showed you previously. We didn't have a copy of the slide. This is looking at the beta 2 receptor. We're looking at binding of isoproterenol. So it differs from the previous compound in that we have a bulky group on the nitrogen. So you assume that that's going to bind with hydrophobic bonds to the receptor. Here's your ionic bond to aspartate that's ionized. The hydrogen bond to the alcohol. The serine, hydrogen binding to the phenolic group. And then the Benwell's interaction with the aromatic ring. You asked a question on ionization previously. We have two pKa's for the molecule. The amine is close to 10, so that's why we assume that it's going to exist as a cation. And then your phenolic groups have a pKa of around 9. Again, when you look at the phenolic group with a pKa of around 9, you can't say that it's this one or that one. They're going to be similar. And just at that particular pH, one of them would become ionized. That's why this negative charge is distributed between the two. So one of them is lost with hydrogen. So if you look at the actual percents that would be present at a physiological pH, the cation form makes up roughly 95%, it's glutamine, another maybe 3%. So the net effect is you've got about 98% of the amine, which is plus charge on it. Generally, you don't worry about the negative charge on the phenolic groups as far as binding to the receptor. Yeah, it's going to be very minor. Catechol will be important when we look at compounds that are used therapeutically, because catechols can undergo oxidation reactions. And this doesn't show the substitution, but the molecules we're going to be interested in will be substituted. But when you have the catechol is the two phenolic groups next to one another. There are 3 and 4 when we look at the epinephrine and norepinephrine. When they oxidize, you get this phenol structure. Oxidation occurs readily, so even with air, it can occur. And further products will give you colored mixtures, so you can tell if something has oxidized. So in general, compounds will have antioxidants added to the therapeutic products to prevent that oxidation from occurring and to prevent the color from forming. When we look at the synthetic compounds, we'll move and compare them to norepinephrine. So you need to be able to compare compounds to know what have you changed in the molecule. So I'm not going to ask you on an exam, like draw the structure of norepinephrine. But when you look at the molecule, what have I changed, and therefore what happened to the activity? So to compare it, you need to know what the parent compound looks like. So when we look at the modification, the nucleus here is a beta phenethylamine. So we have the aromatic ring separated by 2 carbons from our basic nitrogen. When we look at modification, we can modify the group on the nitrogen. We'll be able to modify the alpha or beta carbons. Alpha is the one that's next to the nitrogen. Beta is the one next to the aromatic ring. And then we can modify the aromatic ring. When you start numbering where the side chain is attached, that's your one position. So for instance, in the norepinephrine phenolic groups, we're at 3 and 4. We went through metabolism, so this is a little bit of a review for the exam. So the first question here, you look at norepinephrine is in a substrate for monoamine oxidase. The next question is it a substrate for COMP?
Thank you.
was paid. This is your isomer terminal. So you put a bulky loop on the nitrogen that makes it selective for beta receptors. It will bind to the alpha receptors. So now we'll be looking specifically at the different types of modifications. So the first one is related to the question we just saw. When you substitute the nitrogen, what's it doing for receptor affinity? Can it interact with alpha? Can it interact with beta? Can it be non-selective and interact with both? So if you have the primary amine, you will have a compound that has alpha activity and can interact with beta 1 receptors, assuming we have the catechol. So when you start looking at activity, it's not just one functional group that's important. So we're assuming that we have the rest of the molecule. When we put bulky groups on the nitrogen, we get compounds that are selected for beta receptors. The two groups you're going to commonly see are the basoprobe and the tertiary butyl. The isopropyl is going to be less selective. So if you want the compound to be selective on one type of beta receptor, you'll see the tertiary butyl, because that's going to decrease the activity on beta 1, but it increases the activity on beta 2. So that's what you'll see with the violator type of compound, where you want beta 2 agonist, and you don't really want beta 1 agonist activity. Tertiary butyl is a way to get a selective beta 2 compound. We'll have some unusual compounds after we cover the regular agonist. We can get compounds that are agonists on one type of receptor and antagonists on another type of receptor. So when we start putting bulky groups out here, we can get compounds that are still beta agonists, but they can be alpha antagonists. And the other thing to remember is, again, once we have groups larger than the methyl here, they're not going to be substrates for ammonium oxidase. So you not only get receptor selectivity, but you also decrease metabolism. We go back to a compound that has just a methyl group on the nitrogen. It's going to be potent on both alpha and beta receptors. It has more affinity for the alpha receptors. So if you look at the difference between epinephrine and norepinephrine, it's more potent on alpha receptors. But it's also going to be greater affinity for the beta receptors. So the methyl group makes it less selective for one type of receptor. It's going to interact with both alpha and beta. We won't see compounds that are tertiary or quaternary ammonium compounds. They generally are not very good for producing a direct effect on the receptors. So we're going to be looking at compounds that are usually secondary amines. Keep in mind, if it's a secondary amine, it also means then that it can get into the CNS depending on the rest of the molecule. Okay, going next to the alpha carbon, the alpha again is the carbon that's next to the nitrogen. The most common substitution there will be a methyl. It's a way to increase alpha activity. Somewhat as far as the receptor affinity. But you always have to balance what happens to receptor affinity versus what happens to metabolism. So although we have less affinity for a receptor, we're still going to be using it because it's not going to be metabolized as readily. so it'll stay around for a longer period of time. We can have groups like apples that generally will be more selective for the beta receptors instead of alpha receptors. We'll be looking at compounds that can be alpha 2 agonists as opposed to non-selective for alpha receptors. And getting compounds that are selective, the alpha methyl is one of the ways to increase selectivity for alpha 2 receptors. When we have the methyl on that carbon, we've created another chiral center, so that will make a difference in the activity. Usually one isomer will have activity and the other one won't. Again, it always depends on what else you have on the molecule. If you get into compounds that don't have phenolic groups and don't have the beta alcohol, you get into compounds that are your amphetamine-type compounds, so your CNS stimulants, dextroamphetamine, is an example here. Compound with all of the hydroxy groups. Substitution on the alpha carbon, it makes it so it's not a substrate for monoamine oxidase. Again, it always depends on what else is on the molecule. So if you don't have a catechol in the molecule, then you'll get a compound that's longer acting. Essentially, if you want a long-acting compound, you have to block, prevent both types of metabolism. So if you only prevent one, you're still going to have a relatively short-acting compound. These will be compounds that can be used orally. Again, that's assuming we don't have the catechol in the molecule. Because if we have the catechol, it would be metabolized, and therefore you're going to have first-pass metabolism, and it's not going to reach a systemic circulation. For the beta part, remember that the epinephrine and norepinephrine have an alcohol on the beta carbon, and that was forming the hydrogen bond to the receptor. So it's going to increase both alpha and beta activity. Again, that's a chiral center with the alcohol. So the naturally occurring R isomer is the one that is going to be the most active. The other one would have the alcohol away from the binding site, so the receptor really doesn't see it. Usually the R isomers are the legal rotatory compounds. If you have polar groups on the molecule, less of it gets into the CNS. So compounds with an alcohol, generally are not going to have as much CNS stimulation. Describing the compounds, they can be referred to as phenylethanolamine. Here's your phenyl ring, and then your ethanolamine is two carbons with the alcohol and the amino group. For the aromatic group, naturally occurring compounds have the phenolic groups in the three of the four, and that is a catechol nucleus. If you have the catechol, again, it increases activity on both the alpha and beta receptors. That's what you would expect because those are your naturally occurring compounds. That there are hydrogen binding sites for both of those molecules. If we start to change the molecule, we can, again, change the affinity for different types of receptors. So the phenolic group in the fourth position is considered the important for the beta action. So if we only have the phenolic group in the three position, those are generally going to be more selective as alpha agonists. This is a couple of examples that are available. We'll look at them later. But that was a way to get rid of the vein of compassion, is to remove the corporate article. Compounds that have the phenolic groups are going to, again, be polar, so they're not going to be as lipid soluble, so they're not going to have CNS activity, they're going to stay in the peripheral system. Again, if you want a peripheral effect, that's an advantage, but you really don't want to be seeing CNS stimulation. We change the substitution on the ring, we're going to affect metabolism by COMT. Again, remember, COMT requires the phenolic groups in the 3 and the 4 position. We're going to specifically add the methyl group at the 3 position. They both have to be present. So we took the phenolic group in the 3 position off. There's no place for the metal to add, so it's not going to be a substrate for COMT. We can get compounds that are longer acting and orally active. Again, that depends on what happens out here on the nitrogen or the alpha carbon. Because again, we want to prevent metabolism by monoamine oxidase in addition to not having metabolism for COMT. COMT does not add a methyl group to the 4 position. If that's the only place we have a phenolic group, it would be a substrate. Changing the substitution on the aromatic ring is, again, a way to get the selectivity for specific types of receptors. We want compounds that are selective for beta 2 receptors. We always need the large group on the nitrogen, the isopropyl or the tertiary butyl. So that's the first thing you have to look at. Then you look at the ring structure. We can get compounds that will be selective for beta 2 receptors by changing the position of the phenolic groups. So have the phenolic groups in the 3 and the 5 position instead of the 3 and 4 position. Or we can add a methylene group between the aromatic ring and the alcohol. An alcohol, the hydroxy group that's on the 3 position, so now we'll get an alcohol instead of a phenol. So those are the two ways to get compounds that are selected for the beta 2 activity. So why do we want compounds that are selected for beta 2? What are you going to use it for? Asthma? Yeah, these are the compounds that are bronchodilators. So you get compounds that will give you the bronchodilation without the cardiac stimulation. So beta 2 agonists are going to be preferred to compounds that are non-selective for beta receptor. These compounds are orally active, and they're also relatively long-acting. Again, they're not going to be substrates for monoamine oxidase or COMT. They're not substrates for monoamine oxidase because of the size of the group on the nitrogen. And they're not substrates for COMT because we don't have phenolic groups in 3 and 4. We either have the 3 and 5, or we have the extra methylene active. Couple of examples. This one shows the substitution on the 3 and the 5 position, tributyline. It's going to be selective for the beta 2. because of the substitution pattern, and again, the tertiary butyl made it more selective for beta 2. The other example that's shown here is the compound with the extra methylene added. Again, not a substrate for either of the two metabolic enzymes. Selected for beta 2. Alpha receptors can tolerate more variations than the beta. Beta essentially either have a catechol, we have a weak pi substitution, which is a resorcinol ring, or we have the compound with the extra methylene added. So if we put the carboxy groups in the 2 and 5 position, we can still have compounds that are alpha agonists. Choose as a pressor agent. I don't know the district in your handout.
The structure of it.
Yeah, I don't know why the structure didn't quite tell. We'll see the compound when we go through the compounds that are used. Main thing here is when you start seeing substitutions that don't follow those other patterns, think in terms of alpha agonists. Beta receptors, again, are more selective in by changing the phenolic groups to compounds that had halogens, just replacing them with the chloral groups, was how they initially developed this beta antagonist. So here's the compound. So instead of having phenolic groups, we have halogens. Instead of getting an agonist, it's an antagonist. Compounds not used therapeutically, again, it led to the idea that if we modified the aromatic ring, that was a way to get compounds that are antagonists rather than agonists. You're probably aware that there's a lot of beta antagonists in therapeutic use. Generally, we're not going to have other types of rings. If you don't have an aromatic ring, you can get compounds that are not going to be totally inactive. Generally, these are going to have this weak alpha activity. It can be used like in an inhalation or a nasal spray type of thing. Not going to have any of these. Vasal constrictors. If you don't have an aromatic ring, they won't be active in the CNS. Not going to be active on the beta receptors. The other thing when we look through the adrenergic agents is to consider how they produce their effects. We can have compounds that act directly on the receptors. So we have to have both affinity and intrinsic activity. And we can have compounds that act indirectly by increasing the amount of norepinephrine that's in the synapse. So either by displacing the norepinephrine so it's released or by preventing its reuptake. And then we have compounds that have a mixture so that they can have both a direct effect on receptors as well as an indirect action. So that'll be important when we get into the actual compounds that are used. Indirect acting compounds again are either releasing the norepinephrine or preventing its reuptake. So the net effect is there's more norepinephrine in the synapse. And then I think I just have these in here, so when we get into the actual compounds, again, you want to keep in mind what type of activity you're going to see when you get compounds that are selected for a particular type of receptor. Thank you. Wednesday, so the first 10 questions, or maybe 16 questions, whatever, kind of sample questions. So if you just want to answer these without your notes, just think in terms of maybe a solid one and exam, how would you answer it? It's not probably for your grade, so you don't have to worry about making mistakes.
Lost.